Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Naked Marriage Podcast. We are Dave and Ashley Willis, and on this podcast, we address the truth about sex, intimacy, and lifelong love. And we are so glad to be back into our longer episodes. And we have an exciting topic for you today.
Yeah, that's right. We can't wait to dive in. I wish this was a video podcast because you, my love, are looking stunning today.
Oh, my goodness.
You even brought your pink glasses, which are just like irresistibly cute. I'm going to have a hard time concentrating. You know, it's going to be fun today. And hey, thank you. A quick shout out. Thank you guys for those who've been leaving reviews. We read every single one of those and are so encouraged by the reviews you're leaving on iTunes, wherever it is you're listening to this. You can listen, of course, you know, Spotify, iTunes, YouTube. We put all these episodes on YouTube. But your reviews are really, really helping others discover it. In fact, I've seen that this podcast is showing up on podcast charts all around the world. Canada, I saw Saudi Arabia the other day. So wherever you're listening, thank you for tuning in and thank you for helping us spread the word. Because together we're getting the word out and strengthening marriages along the way. And that really, really is what this is all about. Like Ashley said, today's topic is a really good one. And then stick around to the end because we've added a Q&A segment. And the question we're going to tackle at the end of this episode is really, really a good one. So let's dive in.
We have a very interesting topic today and one that we haven't addressed quite yet, but it was in the media recently in a very interesting article and from a place that has a lot of influence. And so we want to talk about it.
Yeah. And it's really an alarming trend. And it's not just from one media outlet. I've seen it in the New York Times, a very prominent article. I've seen it from the Gottman Institute, which is a very reputable, secular, research-based marriage and relationship place. I've seen it on television. And what we're talking about is this trend of open marriages, or a kind of a fancy word that people are assigning to it, is this polyamorous trend, which essentially means having many loves or many lovers. And this is a thing that people are talking about in culture, saying, is this okay? The article in the New York Times was kind of celebrating this as another lifestyle within marriage to kind of make marriage more exciting, to make it more sustainable, to help the spouse with kind of a lower sex drive, meet that sexual needs while still remaining in a committed relationship. You know, we see different versions of this on TV reality shows, like Seeking Sister Wife.
Or Sister Wives, you know.
And people with those will even point to the Old Testament and say, well, what is polygamy okay? And so we just want to address this stuff head on because we want this to be a place where we're addressing everything head on and trying to do it from a biblical, practical perspective. And just right out of the gate, let me say that this is a bad idea. Any kind of non-monogamous marriage is not a marriage. It's something else, and it's something that is not going to end well. It's not going to be healthy. But we want to talk about the reasons why.
It's so right, because it is so. It's becoming something that is just talked about more and more in our culture because we're seeing it on television. We're seeing it in articles. It's on social media, and we have people. I think that people. We're not shaming anyone. I want to say that really quickly. If this is something you struggle with, or even pondered in your mind, you've never told anybody about it, and you're hearing us talk about it, and you're like, "Oh my goodness, they're making me feel ashamed." I don't want this to make you feel ashamed, but I want this to be a wake up call.
Yeah, definitely.
Because they make it look really fun and like savvy, and like, "Oh, you're so above, you know, the rest of the world, if you can
you're not,
do this.
Yeah, chained down by
yeah, you're not chained old... down. You're enlightened." And that's just, it's a lie from the enemy. And it's ruining marriages. We've literally known people who have entertained this idea, who have lived out this idea, and it has busted up their marriages. And marriages is the, it's, you know, they've ended up getting married several times out of it, and it's busted it up. They've tried to do swinging. They've tried to do, you know, open marriage type things, and it just doesn't work. And so we're not trying to shame you, but we're trying to... for this to be a wake-up call because it isn't something to entertain. I think how people fall into this is they're lonely and they're like, well, maybe it would spice things up if I bring in another partner. Or they're not sexually satisfied like Dave was talking about and they're like, maybe that's the answer because I don't want to have an affair. And they consider this is what we do. We're justifying things and acting like having another partner and calling it polyamorous or calling it an open marriage makes it not an affair. And that is just a lie. It is having an affair.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because they think, well, if I can get my spouse to agree to these kind of new terms of the marriage, of the partnership, then it's not infidelity. It's not breaking trust. Yeah. But listen, you and your spouse could agree on something that's terribly wrong. You could agree it's a good idea to go kill somebody. and it doesn't make it right. It doesn't. Right. It's, in that case, it doesn't make it legal or anything else. And God's word is here to protect us, to provide the guardrails to help us know, you know, how and where we should go with our lives and relationships. And when we start trying to redefine those core laws and principles that God put in place, we're only hurting ourselves. When we remove the guardrail from an interstate, you're going to veer into oncoming traffic. You're going to hurt yourself and others. When you remove the guardrails from a marriage, you're going to cause irreparable damage to yourself, to your family, and to others. And sex is the most powerful guardrail. God gives us so much freedom in marriage to express ourselves sexually with each other, and that's a wonderful gift. We think that married, monogamous Christian people should be having the best sex on the planet, and we talk a lot about that both in this podcast and in our Naked Marriage book. But when you open up the floodgates and you say, you know what, I'm not getting my need met here, or maybe we should try something new, we should bring in other partners, we should open up the guardrails, man, it's gonna end very, very badly. We have some friends who were in a situation of frustration in marriage, and one, the husband was really sexually frustrated. He felt like his need wasn't getting met. And it was causing a lot of stress and friction. They ended up going to see a counselor, and this counselor was a secular counselor, you know, buying into a lot of the trends that we're seeing in the world. And this professional actually encouraged them to have an open marriage. She said, I think that the solution you're looking for is to have an open marriage, is to just say, you know what, we're going to be committed to each other in terms of our partnership and our kids and our relationship, but we're gonna remove the shame and the boundaries, and we're gonna let each other explore outside this marriage for other sexual fulfillment and companionship. And thankfully, our friends who are, you know, strong Christians and they know God's word, they recognize this to be a lie. They recognize this to be very, very dangerous. And so they immediately stopped seeing that counselor, and they said, We're clearly not gonna do that, and we're gonna commit to, you know, to God's principles, which is going to be the only thing that can really lead us to healing. But if you're in a vulnerable place, and maybe you don't have the worldview that our friends have or that we have that's based on God's word, then I can see where this myth could be something that sounds appealing. If you're in a situation of vulnerability and frustration, you're like, well, nothing seems to be working. Maybe we need to just open up all the different options, and this seems like it could be an exciting one. But man, it is never, ever, ever going to end well. I mean, we can talk the statistics of what this does in terms of causing damage to, you know, to kids in relationships that see this as a normal thing, what it causes in damage to the relationship, what it causes in damage to your own mind, your own emotions, your own health. We could go on and on and on. I'm just still kind of dumbfounded. The reason I can't even hardly form words around some of this is that this has really been jarring to me to see so many reputable places. You know, the Gottman Institute in particular, which is a place that I've quoted, a place that has had some good advice for relationships, to essentially celebrate this whole polyamorous trend as something that could be a good thing. It was disappointing to me, and frankly, very frightening to me that a reputable place that people look to and listen to would be giving advice that could just cause such irreparable damage to people's marriages and families if they take it to heart. And so we kind of felt like almost, a sense of urgency,
right,
to come to you with this topic, which wasn't even really planned that far in advance. We just said, this is something we've got to address because we're living in a world where people are buying into this, and we've got to point back to the truth of what God says about marriage, which is really the whole point of everything we do in this podcast as part of the team at Marriage Today. We want to just point people back to the truth of God's unchanging, beautiful plan for a husband and a wife. And this is far outside that plan.
Absolutely. And I just want to say, too, for those of you who are not familiar with the Gottman Institute, they are not a Christian organization. They don't claim to be a Christian organization. So they do, you know, it's not surprising, I guess, when you think about it more that they would consider this because they are going kind of off cultural trends and things. And so, you know, I guess the more we thought about it, we were like, well, I mean, if you don't have God's word as your roadmap to marriage, then I guess your mind and your heart could go all kinds of different places and consider all kinds of different things. But the bottom line is, just like we say in our Naked Marriage book, God created marriage. He literally created marriage. And Adam and Eve were the very first married couple, one man, one woman. And when we walk down that aisle and we say those vows, one of the vows we say is forsaking all others. And you can't forsake all others and be completely committed to your spouse when you invite some other person into your relationship, whether you both agree on it or not, it right then and there is a form of infidelity. Yeah. And I want to say this too, is when you bring in that other person, you immediately stop focusing on your relationship with your spouse because your mind and heart are divided. And so you'll never have the marriage that you could have when you hone in on what God has called you to and what the two of you, you know, are called to as a married couple, and God brought the two of you together. You can't focus on that when you have this other person in the picture and you're stepping out of the bounds of what God has called you to in marriage. And so when we step out of those boundaries that God has put in place, we will get burned.
Yeah,
and they're there for a reason. You know I've said this before on the podcast, but when you look, especially when it comes to sex, it's very binding and it's meant to be binding specifically for a husband and wife. It's a gift that God designed specifically for a husband and a wife. And so I look at it like a fireplace. It's a fire within the fireplace. The fireplace is the marriage and we want to keep the fire burning. But the moment that fire goes outside of the fireplace, it is destructive. It burns everything in its path. But when it stays in that fireplace and it stays burning, it gives warmth to the home. It's a good thing. And so we need to be really careful where our thoughts go and where what kind of actions we take. And the minute we start entertaining these ideas, we need to see that again as a wake-up call to say, wait a minute, we need to talk about this and we need to get some professional help. And we need to seek out a Christian counselor. There are even some Christian counselors that do really focus on sex, because I think so many times, for some odd reason, and I think this is changing, thank goodness it's changing, but the church, for some reason, sometimes they just don't know quite how to address sex because they're afraid they're going to make it too appealing that like teens are just going to run and start having sex, and they just don't know how to address it in a healthy way sometimes, and so they don't talk about it at all. But sex, again, is a gift from God for marriage. So when it comes to married couples, we need to be able to talk about this. And if we're having sexual issues, if we're feeling like our needs aren't being met or you know, we have some kind of intimidation when it comes to sex, or maybe there's baggage that we brought into the marriage, and so we have this shame when it comes to sex, we need to talk about these things, because when we don't, that's where you see people getting lonely or extra horny. And yes, I just said horny on this podcast, but when you are lonely and you're horny, you're going to make wrong decisions. I mean, seriously, right, sweetie?
I'm sorry, I'm just distracted because, you know, you said horny. I got excited.
But it's the truth. You know. We talked about this on the way here. We were like, I'm going to say horny on air because it's the truth. Like when people go prolonged times of being lonely or being sexually frustrated, they're going to make decisions they wouldn't otherwise make.
Yeah. I mean, to kind of bring in some comic relief, I think it was Robin Williams who said, it's God who gave man both a brain and a penis, but only enough blood to operate one at a time. And I just thought that was really funny. But, you know, it's true. So we do make out of sometimes, you know, if sex is the driving force behind all of our decisions in a reckless way, it can lead us to some really, really dark places. And so we have to follow Christ, not our feelings. And if we're following Christ, our feelings will usually catch up and it's always going to lead us back to the marriage. And, you know, real quick, we don't want to camp out on this topic forever, but I do want to address kind of the awkwardness that some people will bring into this argument of saying, doesn't the Bible endorse multiple partners? Because you look at the Old Testament and there are examples of polygamy, which means, you know, multiple wives. And so what about that? And I want to address that head on, frankly. So from the very beginning, God created one man, one woman, and his original design for marriage is one man, one woman. Now, in the ancient world, for a brief period of time, there was kind of an exception that was made to this. It was never part of God's plan. That exception happened because in the ancient world, for a woman, as a way to protect women, for a woman, her social net, her protection came through having children of her own and being part of a family structure. There was great shame and abandonment that was seen for a woman who was childless, didn't have a husband, didn't have children. There was no social network to help her. There was no way for her to make a living. It was all rooted in family. Now, in the ancient world, because of a genocide that had happened against boys in particular, when the Jews were in ancient Israel and the firstborn of all the boys were killed by the Egyptians, and then the wars that happened, there were probably twice as many women as there were men. This created a huge conundrum. There was a problem. It was like half these women aren't going to have a husband, which means they're not going to have children. They're not going to have that safety net. And so for a very specific problem in a very specific period of time, an exception was made that was never part of God's original design or plan, where people could in that setting, enter into that bigamy or polygamous situation, but it never ended well. Even for people that did it, as a way to provide that social net for each other, it never ended well. There was always division. There was always friction. There was always huge family drama. And when Jesus came on the scene, he reaffirmed God's original design and intent for marriage, that it was one man, one woman for life. That's the only design for marriage that Jesus ever talked about. One man, one woman for life. And in the New Testament, the entire New Testament, we don't see one example of any leader within the New Testament, any follower of Christ, living in any marital situation that was anything other than one man, one woman for life. In fact, in Paul's writings, he said, you can't be a leader in the church if you're a husband of more than one wife. It was a huge no-no. And so from beginning to end, the Bible affirms this pattern of one man, one woman for life. And anything else, any deviation from that, for whatever reason, is always going to end badly. It's always going to create drama. It's always going to hurt people. And so don't buy into the myth. Don't drink the Kool-Aid. One study says that 92% of open marriages end in divorce. And that's a study from 2010. And so I would guess that's even higher. And so guys, this is not a way to help your marriage. This is a way to justify very selfish, reckless sexual needs outside of marriage, which never, ever ends well.
No.
And so the key is focus on having a great sex life and a great marriage with your spouse. And every resource we have is aimed at pointing you in that direction.
Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users, and it has saved its members on average $720 a year with over $500 million in canceled subscriptions. And so how it works, it monitors everything you're spending. It gives you a quick snapshot of where the money's going when it feels like money's flying out the windows like it does at our house sometimes. It helps you identify where it's going, and specifically those ongoing subscriptions. Maybe you signed up for a free trial, forgot to cancel it. Next thing you know, you're being charged $10 a month for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. And it cancels that stuff for you.
And we want to save you money too, because you guys, life is expensive. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/naked. That's rocketmoney.com/NAKED. rocketmoney.com/naked.
I know that you appreciate learning because you're listening to this podcast right now to learn and grow in your marriage, and props to you for that. So I want to give you another opportunity to learn. Our friends at Hillsdale College so believe in equipping our culture with truths related to history, economics, faith, citizenship. They're offering their college-level courses, some of their college-level courses, completely free. I encourage you to check out, to start with, the course on ancient Christianity, which is going to give you a really solid base in understanding what was happening culturally and historically during the early years of the church. It's really, really powerful, and the teaching is world class. You can find out all about it at hillsdale.edu/naked to enroll. And I'm telling you guys, there's no cost. This is free college level education, and it's going to benefit your life. So it's hillsdale.edu/naked to register. Check them out at hillsdale.edu/naked and start learning today.
It's so true. And that's why, I mean, we call this podcast The Naked Marriage, because it's all about being fully known by God and by one another. And, you know, we can't do that when we are of divided mind. We are supposed to focus on God first and then each other second if you're married. And that's how it has to be. And we can't fully know our spouse when we're just, you know, lusting after this other person. And this could be if you're actually, you know, engaging in an open marriage or an affair, or if you're just fantasizing. You know, we really need to get our thoughts in the right direction as well. And so I just encourage you, if this was a wake-up call for you today, I'm so thankful. Thank God for that, because we need those wake-up calls, all of us, Dave and I included. We need wake-up calls to point us in the right direction. So I praise God if you did have a wake-up call listening to this. But the next step is getting help.
Yeah.
And recognizing that it's a problem, and recognizing that even though it is a problem, that's not a bad thing. The reason we have these wake-up calls and realize there's a problem is because God's saying, you need to get help, and you can get help. And I just want to tell you that, you know, God can help you. A Christian counselor can help you. You know, talk about it with a trusted friend, again, who loves God, loves you, loves your spouse, and is for your marriage. And get through these problems, work on them together, fight for your marriage, don't fight against your spouse. And I promise you will see so much blessing come out of that. We'll grow closer than ever before. You know, that's the whole thing about having a naked marriage, is there's no secrets. There's nothing you're hiding. There's nothing you're keeping from one another. And that's the kind of marriage that God wants us to have.
Boom. I wish you had a mic to drop. That was good stuff. And that leads into our Q&A section for the day. Remember now, in all of our podcasts moving forward, we're going to take time at the end to answer a very specific question. If you have a question you want us to answer, you can go to nakedmarriagepodcast.com. And on nakedmarriagepodcast.com, there will be a place for you to submit questions, and we would love to hear one from you. But here is today's question. My husband likes to be the, quote, head of the household and make the money and the decisions. He takes what I think to heart and is so good to me, and I know the man being the head is biblical. However, how can I reconcile this as a feminist or equalist, you know, someone who believes men and women are totally equal in every way, and not feel like he wants to dominate all things in my life? Man, this is a good question.
It is, yeah.
We've had really this come up in a lot of different ways of trying to reconcile this biblical pattern of male headship within marriage with this, you know, this modern world we're living in where you know, men and women have equal opportunities in every way, as they should. But what does that look like in the home? Like, how does a biblical marriage in a modern setting look like? Is man still supposed to be the head? What does this mean? Sweetie, I'm gonna let you lead off on this one.
Well, first of all, I want to say this is a very common question, I think, in this modern day and age that many Christian women ponder, because, you know, absolutely. I just want to say first off that we are equal. God made us equal beings. And, you know, I'm sure many of you've heard the whole story about how God took Adam's rib to make Eve. And that means it's like the middle part of the body. And so, you know, there's this equalness here. And we're both equal in the eyes of God. We both have the same kind of worth. There's nothing that says that man is better than woman, that there's not the same kind of worth. So I just want to say that, because I think that was part of her question as well. But I do understand it. It's very clear in the Bible that God designed man to be the head. And with that comes a lot of responsibility. Okay. So I think that some women have taken this as, oh, he has more worth than me. But we need to understand that that's not at all what the Bible is saying.
No, it's really not at all. I mean, I think in most marriages, and certainly in mine, the wife is the smarter one, right?
So, like, I don't know about that.
No, she definitely is. She was valedictorian of her class, and you know, I was not anywhere close. So that's never been an issue. Now, when God's saying I want the man to have headship, he is certainly not saying man makes all the decision, man rules with an iron fist or anything like that. What he is saying, to kind of echo what Ashley said, is that in his design, and in a way that we can ask him why exactly he did this when we get to heaven, he puts an extra layer of responsibility and accountability on the man, in a way where your husband stands before God,
right,
to give an account for his life. He is going to be challenged by God and asked by God how he led his family, in ways and to a level of accountability that you as the wife will not. Of course, you as the wife are accountable for how you loved.
Absolutely.
And how you were as a husband, a wife, a mom, all of those things. But we've got this extra layer of responsibility within that dynamic of the family. It starts, there's a passage in Ephesians you can read if you want to kind of read for yourself what God outlined in the Bible. It starts with mutual submission, which I think is the part we forget. It says, husbands and wives, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So really, the husband isn't the head of the marriage. Christ is the head of the marriage.
Right.
Christ is the head of the marriage, meaning that both of you in submission to Christ will follow his lead and will follow his plan and his principle together. Now, the man underneath Christ has a unique responsibility to lead his family closer to Christ, and in Christ's example, to be a servant. Leadership in the Christian world, leadership as we follow Christ, is wrapped up in service and sacrifice, not in domination,
right,
not in ordering others around. You know, the Bible says that's the world's way of leadership. Christ's way of leadership is to serve. So the man needs to be the chief servant of the home. He needs to be the one who is the first to go when a sacrifice is to be made. He's the one who needs to, you know, roll up his sleeves and dive in with whatever the challenge is, and also the first to sacrifice. You know, he's the one that needs to jump in front of a bus to push his family out of the way when it comes to that, because just as Christ gave his life for the church, he calls husbands to be willing to give their lives for their wives and for their children. And so if you've got a husband who's willing to do those things.
And it sounds like in this question, yeah, she does.
To die for you, to serve you, to protect you, to provide for you, then yes, you as the wife should have huge input on every decision. I think especially on any decision that's a matter of preference, I think husbands should submit to your wife on any matters of preference, what the wall color should be, where we're going to eat dinner, what you want to watch on TV, what house you want to buy. Most decisions are preference decisions, and a way that a husband should serve his wife is to defer to her on all issues of preference. But on issues of principle, when there is a place where maybe you two can't agree and there's not a majority, it's one to one, and which way are you going to go on those few life decisions of do we go left, do we go right, then both of you seek the Lord. And I believe right. He will lead you to a place of unity. But in those very rare instances when you're both seeking the Lord and you don't have unity on it, then I believe that God challenges the wife to say, follow your husband's lead on this, because he's the one who's going to be held accountable for this decision. And if you support and if you love and if you cheer him on and continue to seek God through the process, then you're going to have done your job, and really the responsibility for that decision and its outcome is going to fall on him in a very unique way. And so support him in that. And I know that in a world that is in a world of feminism, in a worldly way of feminism, that's a tough pill to swallow, to say that one spouse should ever have any kind of authority over the other. But in God's economy, where it's rooted in love and service, this really is a beautiful thing. And it's never to minimize someone. It's really to protect everyone involved. And we've written a lot more about this. We have kind of blogs that dive into this in more detail.
And I would say, too, that in the question at the end, she was just saying, you know, I'm afraid, how can I, you know, look to my husband as a leader of our home and respect that leadership while being a feminist and also not allowing him, or, you know, to eventually just dominate my life. And she was being very vulnerable with that. But that's what I believe. It's rooted in fear. It's a fear that you can't fully trust your husband. It's a fear that, you know, if he is the leader and he knows he's the leader, what's he going to do with that kind
right.
of power?
I've got to hold something back.
Right, exactly. And that's not how God designed it. It's not how God designed it at all. I think in most of the time, just like Dave was saying, we should talk about everything. We should try to be unified on everything. But there are those rare moments where we don't know which way to go. And they are very rare. I think most of the time he's not going to call you to something where you're both not feeling a peace about it. I don't think this means, like, husbands, you just make whatever decision while your wife's in the corner crying and never has peace.
And reckless.
That is
and
not
wrong.
What we're saying. Yeah. Yes. So, you know, most of the time, you're going to be able to work it out. You're going to have peace. And that's when you both are submitting to the Lord. And so, you know, it's in those verses in Ephesians, the first thing it says is that you both submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And I just love that, because that's showing that mutual submission there. And that's really where we start. But when it comes to the leadership, to the male leadership in the home, it really is, again, about responsibility. It's not about worth. It's not about the man having more worth than the woman or better insights than the woman. It's really just kind of giving, again, like a roadmap to what God has called us to do and to how we can work through things. But it is not meant to abuse. And that's why he follows up those, you know, verses about leadership with, you should be willing to lay down your life for your wife.
And that you are laying down your life, husbands.
Right.
And you're doing that through constant service, through,
right.
you know, you should be the first to serve, the first to defer. You know, the leadership, again, that Christ modeled for us is one that washed feet.
Right.
And one that served, and one that ultimately gave his life. And husbands, that is what God calls us to. That's the kind of husbands we're called to be. And if you're serving and loving and sacrificing for your wife and family in that way and following the Lord in that way, then you're not going to be domineering. You're
right.
going to be the safest place on earth for your wife to trust her heart, and the safest place on earth for her to follow you as you follow Christ. But if
exactly.
you're not following Christ and you're not doing those things, then don't expect her to just blindly go along with your demanding ways, because that's not healthy and that's not biblical. So the whole idea here is that we all trust Christ, and as we trust Christ, we trust each other and love and serve each other. So great questions. Send those questions in. NakedMarriagePodcast.com is where you can send them. Man, this has been a great episode. Special thanks to our producer, Brittany Wilcox, and our sound engineer, Chris Stetson, a couple of audio ninjas over here making this happen, and the whole team at Marriage Today, the ministry that we're a part of. In fact, if you go to marriagetoday.com, you can get access to incredible videos, yes, articles, teachings from Jimmy Evans, from us, from others, just a huge assortment of resources to help you. And one resource in particular we always like to point out is our book, The Naked Marriage, which will really help you be transparent and vulnerable in marriage. And it will help you in every aspect, emotionally, spiritually, sexually. I think every aspect of your marriage can improve. So go to nakedmarriagebook.com or Amazon. And an audiobook is also available. So if you're not tired of hearing our voices, you can hear us narrate this book.
That's right. Thank you guys so much for joining us on this episode, and we will see you next time.